You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
All across the United States, the right has established deep organizational roots among the college student populations. They have a two-pronged strategy: promote conservative ideas and attack liberal curricula, professors, and students. Billions of dollars have been spent in a long-term strategy to build the influence of right-wing politics and to support conservative student leaders. A new report by the Oakland Institute and Speak Out takes an in-depth look at the right's influence on campus and calls for a long-term and coordinated campaign to build the movement for progressive values at colleges and universities. Anna Rada Mittal is the co-author of the report, Challenging the Right on Campus, and she joins me on the phone this morning. Hi, Anna Rada.
Hello, how are you?
Pretty good, thank you. Now, much of this report consists of a look at what has happened over several decades in terms of conservative organizing on campus. Why do you think it's important to learn that history, to know that history?
Well, first of all, I think it is very important to understand what has happened in the last few decades, how the right has very successfully been able to plant its ideas in young minds on college campuses, and to understand how they have done it if we are to actually challenge it. And that is why the report goes, as you said, there's a very in-depth examination of how the right has moved in promoting its values on college campuses across the United States.
Now, there's one particular example that you talk about, which is the UCLAprofs.com website. Can you tell me about that?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, before I go into that, Jane, I was thinking, I think, first of all, we have to acknowledge the fact that if you look at the efforts that have been made by the conservatives, it is really because they have been frightened by the 60s, when we saw a large number of Americans, especially students in college campuses, who were questioning the system. And their power was being threatened by the civil rights movement, by the anti-war movement, the women's movement. So they set out to influence the minds of the coming generation. And, you know, what you just mentioned about December 2005, when the Bruin Alumni Association, it launched a website to expose the UCLA's, what it called the radical professors, and it went to the extent of actually offering students as much as $100 for snitching, for basically in return for information about what they call abusive and one-sided or off-topic classroom behaviors by professors. That is not a lone instance in itself, because if you look at students for academic freedom, it sounds very noble, but it is really pressing states to adopt an academic bill of rights, which in reality is an attempt to intimidate professors and make them censor what they say or they teach in their courses.
So what kind of a bill of rights is that then? What do they mean by a bill of rights?
What they're saying is that if you are talking about, say, anti-war sentiments are expressed in class, or if there's any questioning of this whole glorious capitalist free market system, that is one-sided bias that is being taught in courses. So what they are saying in terms of academic Bill of Rights is that we not only want to hear about Michael Moore, or we do not want to hear about, what the free trade policies are doing, that is seen as one-sided bias being taught in college campuses. They want to hear the conservative professors. They'd want to have conservative speakers being brought into the college campuses. Now, when I say that, I think it is also very important to remember that this is a part of their strategy, a whole communication strategy, which is basically putting out myths such as academia has a liberal bias. So anytime if there is any hint of anything liberal, that is used to promote this myth that academia is full of liberals who are trying to take over college campuses, just as the way they took over administration buildings in the 1960s.
Now, you use a couple of terms in the report. One of them is the conservative labyrinth, and another term you use is a production continuum of conservative ideas. What do you mean by those terms?
Well, as we studied how the right has moved forward with its agenda, we basically found that the right-wing conservatives have set out with enormous funds at their command. We are talking about basically over a dozen conservative student-focused think tanks spending over $40 million annually to capture the thinking of students, to imbue them with certain ideas. As I mentioned, the glories of the capitalist free market, or the justness of nations war, or the genius of the American political system, or to take pride in the United States as a superpower which is bringing democracy and freedom and liberty to other places in the world. So in order to accomplish that, they have really focused on a multi-pronged strategy. On one hand, these resources are being used to train conservative campus activists. It is being supported, used to support right-wing publications, basically to indoctrinate the next generation of conservatives. Then there's the communication strategy. So in a very strategically, they have aimed at every aspect of organizing, whether it is putting the grassroots organizing leaders who can promote a right-wing agenda on college campus to focusing on policy think tanks, to focusing on publications. And that's what we meant when we talked about this labyrinth or every part of the chain.
And this is a very deliberately coordinated strategy, is it?
Oh, definitely. You can find that there are these handful of right-wing think tanks and student groups which have very good close collaborations with each other, whether it is Young Americans for Freedom or Collegiate Network, Institute for Educational Affairs, Leadership Institute, Intercollegiate Studies Institute. They have very good collaboration. They're very closely linked with each other, and they're targeting, as I said before, every aspect of this chain, basically, not just determining what is being taught in schools, but also who is doing the organizing and who's putting out the message, bringing up or providing these expensive internships where they offer as much as $40,000 for individual students. So it's a very well-coordinated strategy.
Now, $40 million is an enormous amount of money. Where exactly is that money coming from?
That's an excellent question. They have as you said, it's a lot of money. They are right-wing foundations, which basically in the 60s recognized that there is a need to build these strategic alliances and fund it very, very carefully. So you have the foundations who have been funding what I call the war of ideas in the report, who are providing funding to think tanks, to organizing groups, to individuals such as Ann Coulter or Dinesh D'Souza. At the same time, the money is also coming from corporations, who are basically determining the research agendas of the universities. And they have also very successfully gone out to the alumni because they recognize that the alumni and their money has a lot of power in determining what is taught on college campuses and the agenda on college campuses.
Now, you've mentioned a couple of different kinds of outreach that they do. What is the range of outreach activities that happen on campus that's being organized by the right?
Well, on one hand, you have something as simple as progressive speakers who always have to, or the groups that have tried to bring progressive speakers to campuses never have the funds. But here you have this continuous stream of conservative speakers, as I mentioned, you know, from Michelle Malkin to Star Parker to Dinesh D'Souza and Ann Coulter's being brought into campuses. There is very sustained funding of right-wing publications which are promoting their agenda on campuses. At the same time, they are focusing on massaging the message because they recognize the power of framing. So instead of basically declaring themselves as the ones who are determining the agenda, they, for example, paint themselves as the minorities or the victims whose right to freedom of speech has been taken away if they talk about ending affirmative action, for example. Another of their strategy has been, you know, spreading myths. For example, like I just mentioned, that they are the minority, that they are the victims, or that campuses are hotbeds of the left, that they've been taken over by these liberal professors who are preaching values that are against nation's interests. At the same time, they have been very careful and strategic in terms of who the messengers of their message are. So, for example, if you look at these conservative speakers, there are many conservative women who have joined it, who basically, for example, will say that take back the night marches on campuses or sex and dating rules or rape awareness lectures, instead of empowering women, do exactly the opposite. They treat women as infants. At the same time, they have very successfully brought in conservatives of color, for example, Star Parker or Ellen Keyes or Clarence Thomas, to put forward the idea that the time for affirmative action is over. So they have been very strategic in terms of the different strategies they have used, but the overall emphasis, I would say, has really been focused on training the campus activists supporting right-wing publications, indoctrinating the next generation of conservatives and their communication strategy.
How do conservative groups use message framing and prepared talking points in their campus organizing?
Well, what they have first of all done is not just provide the messages. They work with, for example, the conservative student groups in actually preparing them and teaching them how you basically roll out the press and get your message out there. And this is an old strategy where one of the myths that was put out by the conservatives was around political correctness. And in fact, it was not just put out by people like Dinesh D'Souza. President Bush, in a speech at the University of Michigan in 91, at the commencement speech, he had brought that whole slogan and myth to a national stature. So they not only provide the message itself, but they work with the grassroots groups on college campuses, training them. You have these intensive trainings, you have these national conferences where these young minds are brought in and taught these skills so that they can then go back as the activists on campuses.
Now, I want to turn now to a progressive response to all this. What was the Boston summit?
Well, you know, a lot of people actually, when they first have read the report, they have commented, oh my God, this is so incredibly scary as to how these young minds are being influenced. But I think one of the most important things about what the report does is that it points out and shows the evidence that the right-wing attempt has only been partly successful. And the students on campuses all over the country are resisting attempts to stifle critical debate on campus and critical thinking. They are joining struggles of workers, which range from farm workers' struggle to campus workers' struggles. They're joining the anti-war actions. And our research showed that at least half of the young people on campuses are still open to new ideas. Yes, so basically, with this idea of bringing a different perspective and how the progressives can forward their vision, this Boston Summit was organized last year in 2005 in Boston, as the name suggests. And it drew upon the network of speak out artists and progressive speakers to basically, we came together and to start talking about how to start building a broad base and a sustainable movement for progressive values on college campuses. And in fact, the report not only highlights how the right has organized, but actually it offers real solutions and some options for the progressives to move forward their agenda. And that was what the Boston Summit accomplished.
Okay. Now, campuses do have a lot of progressive and activist student organizing around anti-war issues and labor and other issues. What do you think is missing from these endeavors?
Well, one of the things that we found in our research was, and the report points out, that while it is true that you have various progressive activities taking place in campuses, for example, anti-sweatshop movement, or you have anti-war movement on college campuses, or joining struggles for workers' rights, whether they're farm workers or the campus workers, there is not one united vision which, for example, the right has been able to accomplish, that large umbrella then they can unite under. And that is why the report talks about the need for a coordinated national movement where all these different progressive activities could find a home, but that vision and that message of what it's about.
What kind of communication strategy do you think is needed to develop and promote progressive values?
Well, I think in terms of the progressive values, on one hand, we have to dismantle these myths that are being put forward by the conservatives of college campuses having a liberal bias, or the conservatives are the poor victims whose freedom of speech has been taken away. So on one hand, we have to dismantle those myths. But more important, rather than just reacting, we have to be proactive in determining our message and getting it out there. If we are determined on basically, bringing a different perspective and forward the vision so we can actually see a different and better world. So, for example, around affirmative action, you see a lot of myths that have been put out, fact sheets that have been put out by the conservatives, and we need to put out our messages with our research, which can actually show that those kind of policies such as affirmative action or the influence the GI Bill had on higher education or the civil rights movement, the impact it had on making education accessible for people of color, the impact it has on building a stronger nation, and not just a stronger nation, but a stronger, healthier international community. So we have to get proactive in getting our message out there rather than being intimidated. And as I said, our report has shown that basically at least half of the young people on campuses are still open to new ideas. They have not made up their mind. And we can access and get our ideas to them so we can actually build a different world, a better world, and a peaceful world.
Who do you think are the actors on the left that need to get involved and to support this process of developing a long-term strategy for progressive organizing on campus?
Well, once again, just like the right built a strategic coalition, we'll have to be very creative and start building strategic coalitions. On one hand, we have to link up with the alumni associations. We have to link up with the different student organizations on campuses. We have to bring in and link up, the teachers' associations and the professors' associations. We have to talk about linking up these movements with policy think tanks who are putting out good progressive policy papers. We have to link them up with artists and speakers and visionaries and thinkers of today that we can actually bring them onto campuses. So just like the right has thought about what a strategic coalition would look like, we would need from grassroots activists to policy think tanks to come together in a united effort to change the face of college campuses.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with me this morning, Anuradha.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Anuradha Mittal. Anuradha is a longtime social justice activist and is the executive director of the Oakland Institute. Her report, co-authored with Felicia Gustin of Speak Out, is available on their website, oaklandinstitute.org. And for a direct link, you can go to our website, cooperadio.org/redeye.